Chapter 68. Much risk for you, your army, and ourselves, and the embarrassment it throws on us, while taking steps to seek security, by hindering venturous means. Enter Murat, Prince Eugene, and the Prince of Neufchâtel. Murat, there is no choice but leaving, sire. Enormous bulks of powder lie housed beneath us, and outside these panes a park of our artillery stands unscreened. Napoleon, saturninely, what have I won I disinclined to cede? Voice of a guard, without, the Kremlin is aflame. To look at each other. Two officers of Napoleon's guard and an interpreter enter, with one of the Russian military police as a prisoner. First officer, we have caught this man firing the Kremlin. Yea, in the very act. It is extinguished temporarily, we know not for how long. Napoleon, inquire of him, what devil set him on? They inquire. Second officer, the governor, he says, the Count Rostopchin, sire. Napoleon, so. Even the ancient Kremlin is not sanct from their infernal scheme. Go, take him out. Make him a quick example to the rest. Exeunt guard with their prisoner to the court below, whence a musket volley resounds in a few minutes. Meanwhile the flames pop and spit more loudly, and the window panes of the room they stand in crack and fall in fragments.
Incendiarism afoot, and we unaware of what foul tricks may follow, I will go. Outwitted here, we'll march on Petersburg, the devil if we won't.
The marshals murmur, and shake their heads.
Bessières, your pardon, sire, but we are all convinced that weather, time, provisions, roads, equipment, metal, mood, serve not for such a perilous enterprise.
Napoleon remains in gloomy silence. Enter Berthier.
Napoleon, apathetically, well, Berthier. More misfortunes? Berthier, news is brought, sire, of the Russian army's whereabouts. That fox Kutuzov, after marching east, as if he were conducting his whole force to Vladimir, when at the Ryazan road down doubled sharply south, and in a curve has wheeled round Moscow, making for Kalouga, to strike into our base, and cut us off. Murat, another reason against Petersburg. Come what come may, we must defeat that army, to keep a sure retreat through Smolensk on to Lithuania.
Napoleon, jumping up, I must act. We'll leave, or we shall let this Moscow be our tomb.
May heaven curse the author of this war, him, that Russian minister, self-sold to England, who fomented it. 'Twas he dragged Alexander into it, and me.
The marshals are silent with looks of incredulity, and Kalinkert shrugs his shoulders.
Now no more words, but here. Eugene and Ney with their divisions fall straight back upon the Petersburg and Zvenigorod roads, those of Davout upon the Smolensk route. I will retire meanwhile to Petroskoy. Come, let us go.
Napoleon and the marshals move to the door. In leaving, the emperor pauses and looks back.
I fear that this event marks the beginning of a train of ills. Moscow was meant to be my rest, my refuge, and it vanishes away.
Exeunt Napoleon, marshals, etc. The smoke grows denser, and obscures the scene.
Scene X, the road from Smolensk into Lithuania,
the season is far advanced towards winter. The point of observation is high amongst the clouds, which, opening and shutting fitfully to the wind, reveal the earth as a confused expanse merely.
Spirit of the pities, where are we? And why are we where we are? Shade of the earth, above a wild waste garden plot of mine nigh bare in this late age, and now grown chill, Lithuania called by some. I gather not why we haunt here, where I can work no charm either upon the ground or over it. Spirit of the years, the wherefore will unfold. The rolling broom that parts, and joins, and parts again below us in ragged restlessness, unscreens by fits the quality of the scene. Spirit of the pities, I notice now primeval woods, pine, birch the skinny growths, that can sustain life well where earth affords, but sustenance elsewhere eclipsed starvation. Spirit of the years, and what see you on the far land verge there, laboring from eastward towards our longitude? Spirit of the Pities, an object like a dun-piled caterpillar, shuffling its length in painful heaves along, hitherward. Yea, what is this thing we see which, moving as a single monster might, is yet not one but many? Spirit of the years, even the army which once was called the Grand, now in retreat from Moscow's muteness, urged by that within it, together with its train of followers, men, matrons, babes, in brabbling multitudes. Spirit of the Pities, and why such flight? Spirit of the years, recording angels, say. Recording angel, I in minor plain song, the host has turned from Moscow where it lay, and Israel-like, moved by some master sway, is made to wander on and waste away. Angel too, by track of Tarantino first it flits, then swerving, strikes at old Jaroslawitz, the which, accursed by slaughtering swords, it quits. Angel-like harassed, it treads the trail by which it came, to Borodino, field of bloodshot fame, whence stare unburied horrors beyond name. Angel too, and so, and thus it nears Smolensk's walls, and, stayed its hunger, starts anew its crawls, till floats down one white morsel, which apples. What has floated down from the sky upon the army, is a flake of snow. Then come another and another, till natural features, hitherto varied with the tints of autumn, are confounded, and all is phantasmal gray and white. The caterpillar shape still creeps laboriously near, but instead, increasing in size by the rules of perspective, it gets more attenuated, and there are left upon the ground behind it minute parts of itself, which are speedily flaked over, and remain as white pimples by the wayside. Spirit of the years, these atoms that drop off are snuffed out souls who are engusted by the caressing snow. Pines rise mournfully on each side of the nearing object. Ravens in flocks advance with it overhead, waiting to pick out the eyes of strays who fall. The snowstorm increases, descending in tufts which can hardly be shaken off. The sky seems to join itself to the land. The marching figures drop rapidly, and almost immediately become white grave mounds. Endowed with enlarged powers of audition as of vision, we are struck by the mournful taciturnity that prevails. Nature is mute. Save for the incessant flogging of the wind-broken and lacerated horses, there are no sounds. With growing nearness, more is revealed. In the glades of the forest, parallel to the French columns, columns of Russians are seen to be moving. And when the French presently reach Krasnoye, they are surrounded by packs of cloaked Cossacks, bearing lances like huge needles a dozen feet long. The fore part of the French army gets through the town. The rear is assaulted by infantry and artillery.
Spirit of the Pities, the strange, one-eyed, white-shakoed, scarred old man, ruthlessly heading every onset made, I seem to recognize. Spirit of the years, Kuches of he, the ceaselessly attacked one, Michael Ney, a pair as stout as thou, earth, ever hast twinned. Kuches of 10 years younger, would extirp the invaders, and our drama finish here, with Bonaparte a captive or a corpse. But he is old, death even has beckoned him, and thus the so near seeming happens not.
Napoleon himself can be discerned amid the rest, marching on foot through the snowflakes, in a fur coat, and with a stout staff in his hand. Further back Ney is visible with the remains of the rear. There is something behind the regular columns like an articulated tail, and as they draw on, it shows itself to be a disorderly rabble of followers of both sexes. So the whole miscellany arrives at the foreground, where it is checked by a large river across the track. The soldiers themselves, like the rabble, are in motley raiment, some wearing rugs for warmth, some quilts and curtains, some even Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.